Well, God morning to you, and welcome back to the God School. We're teaching through the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. The purpose of which is to continue to reveal and give knowledge that God's children might be edified and their faith be strengthened. That the calling of God on our lives might be made complete. Not only by our faith being a gift of God, a portion of His grace, but also by the faith of Jesus Christ. I didn't say faith in, I said faith of Jesus Christ. I hope you had ears to hear. We've spent about 3 hours on this first chapter of the book of Hebrews, called the first chapter. There was never any chapter or verse in the original scriptures. But, you know, God, and I don't want to go back and cover all the first chapter again, but to this, I believe, heretical teaching about God having a great plan for your life. Yes, He does. But the ones whom He called, it will say later in this book, who are strangers and foreigners in this world and confess that this world is not their home, but they look for a city whose builder and founder is God. And therefore, we will pick up where we ended last time. God, speaking of angels, He says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" That's speaking about you and me. And in the eternal purposes of God, there's coming a time when angels will minister, will if I might say, be our servants. Now, God spoke about seven great things in the second and third verses of the first chapter about Christ. He spoke about seven things comparing the angels to Jesus. And now Paul goes on and he says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. He says, because of what we've just heard about who Christ is and about our position in God, he says we ought to pay more attention to these things that we have heard. Lest at any time we should let them slip. Dr. Scott used to say a good picture was snow on the branch of a tree. And, you know, it when the sun comes out, it might drip, drip, drip. But all of a sudden, whoosh, that whole clump of snow falls. That means there's a possibility of through non-attentiveness of the things God has planned for us, of slipping away. You know, go to church on Sunday, forget it all by Monday. Godliness, as defined in the scriptures, is being aware of the presence of God. He goes on to say in the second verse, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, those beings who were lower than Christ if their word was steadfast, we've got to go to a little scripture for this. In the 19th verse of the third chapter of Galatians, it says, wherefore then serveth the law? Why'd the law come? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed, that is Christ, should come, to whom the promise was made. And speaking of the law, it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. That was Moses. Acts 7:53 says, who received the law by the disposition of angels. Somehow or other, not somehow or other, by God, these New Testament writers are proclaiming the law came to us via angels. You say, well, God, I read the book and God gave it. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. Exodus chapter 20 is where we read the Ten Commandments. And it opens and it says, and God spake all these words, saying. The Hebrew says, and Elohim spake. It's not only a word in the plural, it's the same word as Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God, it says Elohim. I'm sorry, I really want to communicate some understanding. No prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation. We have the testimony not only here in the second verse of second chapter of Hebrew, but in Galatians 3 and Acts 7. And it's telling us the law came by angels and says it was steadfast. And it says every transgression that and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. What does that mean? It means termination pay. It means you get what you earned according to the law. Why would you ever want to grab hold of that as somehow a source of being our salvation? It says, if the words of angels were steadfast, he goes on to say, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord? Kyrios, Jesus, and was confirmed to us by them that heard him. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles. It's translated in the King James. It just means expressions of his power. It's the word in the Greek from which we get our word dynamite. And with diverse powers and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Whose own will? The sentence begins God. God's own will. Those, he really is talking to people who, in their religious frame of reference, really gave great attention to angels. But it says in the fifth verse, "For unto the angels has he not put into subjection the world to come, whereof we speak." I want you to think about that for a minute. It gives me pause. This apostle, this sent one from God, has a message about, and gives a message about the world to come. Not today, not, you know, God giving great success in the earth today. Not those carrying the message about, you know, how to eliminate trouble from your life in this world, because Jesus said, without a doubt, in this life you will have trouble. But he's speaking to those who are heirs of salvation, and he's speaking to those who have a view of the world to come. He says, "But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you visit him?" We would find that in Psalm 8. King James says, "Thou madest him a little lower than the angels." That's really not a good translation. There is a marginal note in my Bible that says, "a little while inferior to." This is speaking of Jesus and of God. God made him for a little while lower than the angels. But it goes on to say, "You crowned him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thine hand." Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing not put under him. But now we see not all things put under him. Yeah, folks. He's here speaking of God's original intent for mankind. When God made Adam, he made him ruler of all things, but Adam didn't trust God and trusted the father of lies. And now we see not all things put under him, under us. But we see Jesus, who for a little while, proper translation, was made lower than the angels. For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. This word, grace, is so all-encompassing. It was by the grace of God that Jesus should taste death for every man. Amazing grace. The 10th verse. For it became him an alternate translation is it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things. Remember back in the first verse, by whom also he made the worlds. It was fitting for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. This word being translated in the King James, captain. The word in the Greek is archegos. Short definition is originator, author, founder, prince, leader. It's a combination of two words in the Greek. Arche, meaning the first, and ago, meaning to lead. Properly, the first in a long procession, a file leader who pioneers the way for many others to follow. For many others to follow in bringing many sons to glory. Who's doing this? Me? Or you? No, it's Jesus. Who is bringing many sons to glory? He is the founder, the prince, the leader of our salvation. And it was fitting for him to make this salvation to complete through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified, all of one. As I was studying through this and looking at the Greek, it says, the translation, they who are sanctified, that is not only is speaking of Jesus operating where it says, for both he that sanctifieth, that word, it's a verb and it's in the middle voice. And you know, if any of you get tired of hearing me speak about this middle voice, I'm gonna pound on this till Jesus comes, because we've lost the sense of what's being declared in the original language of the Greek when it's translated into English. He's doing this for himself. He that sanctifieth, he's doing it for himself. And they that are sanctified, we being the beneficiary recipients of what Christ is doing for himself. I'll always remember a man, a preacher, a well thought of preacher who doesn't need to be named, who once attempted to come across my pastor, Dr. Gene Scott, who just didn't fit the normal traditional view of a preacher. And this guy said to me, but Don, don't you think you need to be sanctified? Yes, no question. But the sanctifier is Jesus Christ, and he's doing it for himself. And we, whom he has called and by grace gifted faith, he sanctifies, not we ourselves. No man comes to God save the Spirit of God draw him. The word sanctify, sanctifieth, it comes out, the meaning means to be separated, to be committed. If we're committed to God, it's by him. It is by the operation of the Holy Spirit working in us, a gift of God. Not of ourselves, lest any should boast. For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he's not ashamed, speaking of Jesus, to call them brethren. Because of what he has done, not because what I've done, and not because what you've done. And this one, of whom it is said, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom God tells us in other places, this is my dear Son, hear ye him. What did he come to do? What did he come saying? He came saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the outcalled ones, I will sing praise unto thee. There's a whole message in this, these first few words of the 12th verse, saying, I will declare thy name. If you want more on that, go back and listen to a message out of Isaiah 50 on the names of God. I want to continue in this. Oh. And again, I will put my trust in him. The Greek has a participle on this word, and it says, I am trusting in him. Daily, yesterday's trust, yesterday's faith don't mean a thing. It's today, trusting today. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Trusting today. And behold, I and the children that God gave me. He's quoting here, and I'll go to it just to din in the second verse of Psalm 18, but let's go to the first. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength, the strength of me. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength. In whom I will trust, it says. In whom I am trusting. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. In the true Lord's prayer of John 17. God speaking, Jesus speaking of us, says of us, they were yours and you gave them to me and I have kept them. Isaiah, God has always been speaking of his intent, of his purpose, to gather those that he chose out of this world for himself. Before the worlds ever began. For as much then, 14th verse reads, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same. We didn't have any choice in becoming flesh and blood. But Jesus had a choice. For in the law of God, in the law of the kinsman redeemer, the only way one could be redeemed would be by one who was near of kin. We don't have a choice. Jesus made the choice to be kin with us. Why? Likewise took part of the same. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is, the devil. That he might make of no effect him that had the might of death, that is, the devil. We read of Jesus. That he not only ascended, but that he descended and led captivity captive out of hell, right out of hell. Psalm 138 says, if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. But Jesus came out of the grave with the death, or with the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He made that power that Adam gave up, and it went to our adversary. The devil, that is, Satan, the power of death. And what was that power of death? Read in 1 Corinthians 15, it was the law. And some want to go back to the keeping of the law. That's what gave the devil his power. His might, but Jesus took part of the same koinonia. He became kin with us for this purpose, also to destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. It's talking about being subjected to the law, that thing which we could never keep. And when we came to that understanding, oh, we might say with Paul, as he did in the 7th verse, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank my God through Jesus Christ, for there is therefore now no ultimate condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And we're in Christ Jesus when he's in us, and Christ dwells in our heart by faith, and faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Am I repetitious? You damn right I am, because I have to tell myself every day, and usually a lot more than once, by grace. Oh, I think it's going to take eternity to come in before we even begin to grasp the height, the depth, the breadth of this which we call grace. It says, for truly he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. This word being translated took in this 16th verse is epilembano. That is, to reach down and grab hold of with the intent to help. It says of Christ, he didn't do this for the fallen angels. I don't know why. One could ponder. They had been with God in eternity and seen his glory, seen his majesty, and out of pride decided they would put themselves in place of God. And Satan and that third of the angels of heaven which followed him were cast out. We, being seed of Abraham, we never had that privilege. Seed of Abraham, the father of faith. Faith. The substance of things not seen, the evidence of things hoped for. But this writer says, we've seen Jesus, and he's giving us an understanding of the Jesus Christ of history, who stepped from eternity and chose to become kin with us, that he might reach out, grab hold, and help this, with the intention to help the seed of Abraham. Wherefore it says, because of this, in all things, it behooved him to be made like his brethren. It was right. It was according to the word of God. For without being made like us, being kin to us, he had not the power to redeem. Because of this, in all things, it behooved him to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. This word being translated reconciliation, now we're talking about, the laws of the tabernacle, and those things pertaining to the high priest, of which Paul says is going to tell us later, they're shadows of things to come, that the substance was Christ. And it's this word being translated reconciliation is hilasmos in the Greek. It is related to that word that we find in the 25th verse of the third chapter of Romans, where it is being spoken of Jesus Christ, wherein it says, whom God has set forever to be, King James says, a propitiation. The word is hilasterion. It is that word in the Septuagint, Greek translation of the Old Testament done 200 years before Christ. Hilasterion is that word in the Greek, translating the Hebrew word kapareth, mercy seat, that place where God would meet man when God deemed the sacrifice acceptable to him. We're talking about Jesus. And what he did. And the price he paid. That he should taste death for every man. For our sins. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. This word being translated succor in the King James is a sister to that same word that we find in the 16th verse of the 4th chapter. That verse reads, therefore let us come boldly. Let us keep coming boldly. That is, with all outspokenness. That is, with the heart man believeth, with the mouth declaration is made. Let us keep on coming, speaking boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may find that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He is able to help. Looking back at that 12th verse, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Jesus, one name, its meaning. In the Greek, it says, they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. It comes out of the Greek translation for the Hebrew name Joshua. We encounter that name Joshua, the servant of Moses, whose original name was Joshua, which meant helper. And God says to Moses, don't call him Joshua any longer. Call him now Jehoshua. Jeh, the contraction of Jehovah. Joshua, our helper. Jesus, God, our helper. He will help us. He is able. He has the power to help them that are tempted. All day long, our faith is assaulted as the stuff of life in this world seems to contradict all that God has said. And the temptation is, oh, what are we doing this for? Let's go back. Let's just go and enjoy. Hold on, folks, to Jesus as he's holding on, grabbing hold of you. He is able to help those of us who are using this gift of God called faith and giving more attention to the things we've heard than to the things that we see in this life. God is able. God is great. God be praised forever. And that's the God School for today.